Welcome to the Friday edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski, and I'll be here the next 2 hours. Every day, Monday through Friday, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. And my first guest is Elsa Beth Baumgardner, and she's a political prisoner in this country that's spent over 300 days in jail for speaking up at a city council meeting and several other things, like emailing a judge and trying to get at corruption at the highest levels. She's a former attorney from Ohio who tried to buck the system. And boy, I wanted to have Elsa Beth on again today because she just got out of jail again. She spent 120 days for a contempt of court charge. And we're going to get to Elsa Beth I got a couple minutes here to do some program notes, and right after the next break, we'll spend an hour with Elsa Beth Baumgardner. In my second hour, I have essayist and author Judy Andreas with me, and she wants to discuss the state of the media and other things in our country that are on her mind today, and I will get to Judy in the second hour. But let me mention this. I've been talking about the Vatican and their involvement in the New World Order. And this show is concentrated on that aspect in many different areas. And the reason we do is because it's overlooked by many in the media, a story that needs to be told. And so we started to bring on people that discussed history, so many things that have been covered up regarding their connection, Rome's connection to our government and its control over governments all over the world. And then people find it hard to believe, but it is true. And many of my guests, hundreds of them, have come on to explain that. I wanted to mention this, that the Vatican has already admitted to taking part in the World War II Croatian genocide, where more than 800,000 innocents were brutally slaughtered. These horrific admissions came to the sad light of day in a recent federal court proceeding in San Francisco. This is a federal court case going on, in a case presently on the docket where the Vatican Bank is the defendant. And I've had the attorney, Jonathan Levy, on my show, who's representing a number of Croatian victims. And they're trying to get reparations for the horrific acts that were done to more than 800,000 innocents brutally killed. And during that court proceeding, the attorney for the Vatican, Mr. Lena, admitted that they took part in the genocide. However, they said it was justified under international law. And Mr. Levy's eyes rolled. And that admission basically goes to the heart of what we're trying to say. If they were a good organization, first of all, why would they be taking part in such a horrific activity as genocide in World War II? And secondly, why are they not allowing anyone to understand what their finances are to repay these people? The question becomes, if they are a good organization, why are they hiding their assets? If they are a good organization, why are they doing a lot of things in our country, like backing the illegal immigration and many, many more things? Fruits of their work tell you exactly what they're doing. We'll be back with Elsa Beth Baumgardner right after this short message.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Ken Solar can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you would think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit Ken's website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. Ken Solar, the home of all your solar needs.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Oh, walking towards Washington.
Walk until peace has come.
Okay, we are back for our first segment. My guest is Elsa Beth Baumgardner, and if you think fascism hasn't creeped into the American lifestyle, and if you think the judicial system hasn't broke down, think again, because you need to listen to Elsa Beth Baumgardner's story. She's been with us before, and over the last year, we've covered her story in depth to try to let you know what's happening in Ohio to this patriot woman who tried to fight corruption and basically has been jailed for more than, I think it's going on over 300 days now. I promised to have her on right after she got out of jail again. She just got out of jail a couple days ago, spent 120 days for a contempt of court charge, which was bogus, and we're going to talk about that first. Elsa, it's good to have you out of jail.
Yes, thank you, Greg.
And I'd like to get into, we'll get into the major part of your story, but tell us how you ended up again in jail for 120 days, and I know you're still facing an eight-year prison term, correct?
That's correct.
Tell us about that. Go ahead.
This sentence arose from civil litigation I was involved in Ottawa County, wherein I was forced to defend myself, and I was filing documents in the court, legal pleadings, pointing out misconduct by opposing counsel and by the judge in basically entering false facts and other types of conduct that violated the code of professional conduct for attorneys. 7 months after I'd entered those pleadings, and there's natural immunity for any pleadings you file in a court, there's something called judicial immunity for statements you make in a courtroom or documents that you file in a court, you're immune. People can't sue you for libel or things like that. The court, if you make a statement in there that is obviously false, there would be criminal sanctions for that. Or if you make a statement that is scandalous or, you know, just completely irrelevant, the court would typically strike that type of pleading. And that's the recourse that the court has to make sure people don't come into a courtroom and misbehave. But my documents were filed in complete compliance. Nobody objected to anything I was saying at the time I made these statements. It was only after a judgment was awarded to me in the case where I was denied a jury trial, and the judge, retired visiting judge Richard Marcus, awarded a judgment against me, and then, after awarding the judgment, decided to hold me in contempt of court for 34 separate statements I had made in pleadings dating back, like I said, over 7 months. It took 1 year and 3 months to get that indirect contempt case to trial. I was denied right to a jury, which I'm entitled to because I was facing potentially over 2 years. I was denied right to counsel. I was denied the right to subpoena witnesses on my behalf. But most importantly of all, the reason I was cited for contempt was Judge Marcus adopted a contempt standard that runs counter to over 40 or 60 years of United States Supreme Court precedent, in that he said any statements made criticizing the court that tended to embarrass the court in any way constituted criminal contempt of court. That's a ridiculous standard. It violates the First Amendment, in my opinion, and in the precedents that I've reviewed. But nevertheless, we went to trial in what can only be described as a show trial. The judge, a retired visiting judge, was brought in on the case, and it took him 7 months to decide the case. He only entered his judgment 2 weeks before I was scheduled to go to trial in Cleveland, Ohio, where I was facing over 100 years for sending emails criticizing Judge Marcus's handling of the same civil case. So I had at the same time two criminal cases pending against me for the same course of conduct, and there was a deliberate effort, I believe, to kind of interfere with my ability to defend myself in Cuyahoga, kind of like a juggling between the two different cases.
Yeah, we've talked before. They've kept you in this legal matrix.
Yes, exactly.
And we're going to get back to what started this whole thing, but finish how you ended up in jail for 120 days again.
Sure. So I was found guilty of contempt, these 27 out of the 32 counts. To give you some idea of the kind of language I was cited as contemptuous, I was cited for calling Judge Marcus, who was 76 years old, elderly. That was considered contempt, justifying sentencing me to 20 days in jail. I was found guilty of contempt of court for stating that I believe the judge had a bias against me and was prejudging the case. That was considered contempt that merited 20 days in jail. Make a long story short, the judge ran some of the dates concurrently, and I was ended up given 120 days and then denied an appellate bond, which is unheard of. Obviously, in First Amendment cases, appellate bonds are kind of granted pro forma. And in this case, I would have served my sentence before I would ever get the appellate review that I'm entitled to under the Constitution of this country. I was denied an appellate bond. We filed a habeas corpus with the Ohio Supreme Court. That court sat on it, even though they're supposed to, under the statute, address the habeas petition forthwith. We filed January 12th. The Ohio Supreme Court sat on it. Again, my political, my case is highly politicized. It relates to my criticism of the retired visiting judge system in this state and the Chief Justice of our state, Thomas J. Moyer's role in that system. I've alleged now for over 5 years that the retired visiting judge system can be misused to affect predetermined outcomes in cases, and I have done extensive research demonstrating a pattern of that occurring. And I believe this contempt case was retaliation for that legitimate criticism of our government, which all of us as citizens are entitled to. I just served a sentence. I got out on Tuesday, the 27th. But not before we filed a habeas corpus petition with the federal court in Toledo, Ohio. That habeas now is pending. Even though I am out and there's no need to have me released from prison, I'm still entitled to review of the constitutional errors by a federal court. And I believe we have a very strong case of that there were a number of constitutional errors, of course, occurred in the case, of course, the premium one being the First Amendment violations, my right to criticize the government and my right to petition the court for redress of rights.
Yeah, and your legal battles have just begun because I know you're facing another 8-year prison term for related case regarding your plight to get justice in that state.
Yeah, exactly. That's the paper, the so-called paper terrorism case. It's related to this contempt case in Ottawa County. In that case, I agreed to a plea deal, a no contest plea, with a guarantee of an appellate bond. Again, I'm confident that the Ohio paper terrorism statute that I was convicted on will be found unconstitutional because it does read on the First Amendment. It does, it's overbroad, and it does basically criminalize speech that is basically the foundation speech for why this country was founded. I mean, my case involves criminalizing the very conduct that our founding fathers based this country on.
Yeah, you have a First Amendment case that I think is a watershed case in our country. I mean, it's one of the biggest First Amendment cases I've seen in a long time, getting the least amount of coverage I've ever seen in my life. It's just amazing to me how they can keep you. How many days have you spent in jail already?
522.
522 days in jail. And this all started because you spoke up at a city council meeting.
Right. Absolutely protected speech. And what's been interesting in that case was I spoke up at a local council meeting criticizing a county prosecutor's involvement in owning a company that was getting what I believe to be illegal federal grants. What's really intriguing with my case now is it all is tying back into the U.S. attorney scandal that's percolating in Washington, D.C., in that back in 2001, I'm the first person in Ohio, I believe, who went to the Justice Department complaining about the politicization of the U.S. attorney's offices here in northern Ohio, that, in fact, that the U.S. attorney's office was not investigating high-level Republican corruption in this state, running to the governor, the attorney general, and the auditor of state and our chief justice. And I think what you're going to find is ultimately the paper trail in this case is going to lead to an absolute blockage leading into the highest levels of powers in Washington, D.C. to block an investigation of public corruption in Ohio. That would have affected the outcome of the 2004 election in this state. Ohio was the state that gave President Bush the election.
Right.
And it's kind of intriguing.
Yeah.
My criticism related to Erie County Prosecutor Kevin Baxter receiving a $500,000 federal grant that he obtained, we know this, his own attorney admitted it, he obtained it by giving a $50,000 donation to Senator Ted Stevens of Alaska, who sat on the Transportation Committee and awarded that grant in return for that donation. Senator Ted Stevens was, of course, committee chairman when the Republicans had power. Now he is no longer in that power. But again, it's an example of the pay-to-play kind of nature, and it's kind of incredible that somebody could be found guilty of falsification for standing up at a public meeting and just criticizing the fact that a county prosecutor had received an illegal federal grant, which it is. It violates, public officials are not allowed to use their offices to gain special privileges for themselves and their private companies.
Let me take a break here. We're going to come back and discuss exactly what happened to start your problems at that city council meeting. And we'll be back with you right after this short message on the Investigative Journal.
Okay.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer, and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Inc. patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, here's the number to call, 702-953-0267. Or visit www.lasemedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasemedinc.com. That number to call again, 702-953-0267.
Broken lines, broken strings. Broken threads, broken springs, broken idols, broken heads, people sleeping in broken beds. Ain't no use jiving, ain't no use joking. Everything is broken.
That sure is.
Yes, now we're on. I said, yes, the judicial system has been broken in Ohio, and this story with Elsa Beth Baumgardner shows that. My guest has spent over 522 days in jail being put in a legal matrix, and it all started, and let me explain who Elsa Beth is. She's a former attorney from Ohio who tried to uncover and to alert her fellow citizens of corruption at the highest levels in her state. Started out by her standing up at a city council meeting and saying her piece. Now, Elsa, tell us exactly what you said and then what they did to you and how they twisted the law and took away your free speech rights. Go ahead.
Yes, I appeared at a council meeting in Port Clinton, Ohio on January 2nd, 2002 on behalf of three clients I was representing at the time and then my own interest as a local businesswoman and entrepreneur. And I had three fundamental complaints about Kevin Baxter, the Erie County prosecutor. One was a complaint from my client, Krista Harris, who maintained that Mr. Baxter had abused his office to coerce sex from her during a criminal prosecution. In other words, he would drop a criminal case against her if she put out for him sexually. Also that she used drugs with him and that he was misusing his office for personal gain. And that he finally, that he asked her to commit to perjure herself in a trial so that he could obtain convictions against three black drug traffickers who Krista alleges were, in effect, competitors of Mr. Baxter. One of those people now have a habeas petition, I believe, based on this this evidence that, you know, the prosecutors prosecuting him was sleeping with the state's witness during the prosecution of his case. That's pending at the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals down in Cincinnati. And hopefully Mr. DeWitt McDonald is the man's name. Hopefully there'll be some justice there, or at least some examination. The second thing I was complaining about was the alleged cover-up of the murder of my client's mother, who was complaining about that local police officers and law enforcement agents were engaged in drug trafficking and sex with underage girls and boys. We believe, and evidence, that forensic evidence clearly indicates that Darlene Mathis was murdered and that it was actually staged as a suicide. It'll be a 10-year anniversary of her death coming up here now in April of this year. And then finally, and again, I did an extensive forensic analysis. The tox data clearly doesn't support a suicide attempt, but it's consistent with what would be a homicide. And all I was asking was for an inquest into that. And then finally, lastly, I complained of, I mentioned also that I had several witnesses in addition to Krista Harris who had known that Kevin Baxter was using drugs and was engaged with some of his associates in trafficking in those drugs. Since I made those statements, I've been given recorded telephone conversations by one of his associates wherein his own mother admits that her son is engaged in trafficking and that my life is in danger for talking about these things. And then finally, my complaints as a businesswoman and an attorney with the federal, what I perceive to be the federal grant fraud involving Mr. Baxter's company. Now, that was at a public meeting. It wasn't under oath in a special proceeding. It's just getting up, making commentary, asking the counsel that before they enter into a contract with Mr. Baxter and his company, the counsel was called to consider a contract with that company, that they really should check into the background of the people that were involved.
And that has to do with a boat?
Yeah, he owned a ferry boat company. It was Island Express Boat Line, and he was getting a preferential deal on dockage with the city of Port Clinton. There was a better contract on the table from a competitor, but there was clearly a political agenda in my mind to enable Mr. Baxter and his associates to get the deal. Not surprisingly, 1 year later, I was proven correct. Mr. Baxter's company went belly up. The city of Port Clinton got left holding the bag on the contract. But nobody ever came back. I was charged with falsification, which when you look at the statute in Ohio, and I believe the statute number is 2921.13, you look at it, it clearly states in an official proceeding, and an official proceeding is defined as proceeding before a quasi-judicial body. In other words, you're under oath. Now, city councils are empowered to have official proceedings and to take testimony under oath, but that's clearly not what this was. It was purely just people getting up expressing their viewpoint. And so this just recently came to light, that now 5 years later, my conviction was for making statements which were never even proved false. They were, my statements, additional
right.
evidence has come forward to show not only were my statements knowingly false, they're actually true. Additional women have come forward now to say that Mr. Baxter traded sexual favors for preferences in prosecutions in their criminal cases, as well as job placement.
Break in here.
Additional people come forward with drug information on him. And finally,
okay, Elsa, I need to take a break here, so we're going to come back in 3 minutes and continue your story. Back right after this short message.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See headachestaygone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Are you paying exorbitant amounts of interest to your mortgage lender? We as Americans have been led down a path of paying excessive amounts of interest to the lending institutions. Stop paying tens of thousands of dollars in mortgage interest and start saving. Our financial experts have spent 2 years and about $2 million on a revolutionary interest reduction solution that will show you how to pay off 100% of your mortgage and other debt in as little as 8 to 11 years with no change to your current lifestyle or spending habits. No increase to your monthly mortgage payments, no refinancing, and no out-of-pocket expense. That's right. Take 19 to 22 years off your 30-year mortgage. This is not a biweekly payment program or a debt roll-down program. It's much more. Sound too good to be true? Find out just how good. Visit interestreductionsolutions.com or call 1-800-281-5094. That's 1-800-281-5094. Ask about our free DVD and financial analysis report.
Hi, Michelle. I haven't seen you on the bus for a while. Did they change your shift?
No, Lori. I finally quit my job. I'm working at home now, and I love it. No more commuting. And I'm home when the kids get out of school.
Working at home? Doing what?
It's a long story. It all started when I discovered the website earnmoneyathome123.com.
Oh, Michelle, you didn't fall for one of those internet deals, did you?
Well, I looked into several, and this one is for real.
Are you sure?
I didn't quit my job until I was sure, and now I'm making way more money working at home.
Really?
I've joined the success team and their major advertising co-op. Our business is fully automated, which gives me more money and the time to enjoy it. I'll be earning money while we're skiing this winter.
What was that website again?
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Here, write it down.
Good idea. EarnMoneyAtHome123.com. Maybe we can go skiing this winter, too.
EarnMoneyAtHome123.com is a global opportunity.
Okay, we're back for the second half hour of the Investigative Journal. 800-313-9443 if you want to give us a call. We'll see if we can squeeze in a few calls in the latter part of this half hour. But anyway, Elsabeth Baumgardner, you can't take back those 500 days you spent in jail, but we can't alert America to what's going on in your case. This is a story that needs to be heard from coast to coast. You spoke out at a city council meeting. They used the falsification laws to twist and turn your case and to put you in jail for a number of reasons that we'll get into here. But most importantly, I think people have to understand, in this case, it would be interesting if Mr. Baxter and the rest of the people you were charging with, if these were false statements, you think they would protect themselves by filing a libel case or something, or a slander case against you, because you did write also these things, a libel case on your website, a slander. Did they ever do that?
Because if they'd sued me for libel, I would have been entitled to full discovery, in which case, you know, I would have asked for tax returns, and we would have, you know, and I would have been able to depose people, taken depositions of people, and it clearly would have been established that, you know, that what I was saying was absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's a perfect defense.
Is, you know, it's the same kind of modus operandi that was used in the Soviet Union to stifle dissent. In other words, paint somebody as, you know, alternately you criminalize speech, or in the alternative you paint the whistleblower or the critic or the dissident as mentally ill, which is the other component that they, you know, they go back and forth between the two. Either I'm being thrown in jail or I'm being viewed as being somebody who's mentally ill. That's, you know, it's not,
yeah, they've
that
had you under psychiatric. How many psychiatric examinations have you had? This
I've
is interesting.
I've had at least seven that have come to my mind immediately, several that I requested on my own when early on in this process when, you know, I guess what your listeners really have to understand is, while my initial, what initially happened to me is actually the template for the much larger issue in the state of Ohio, and now nationally we're seeing it with the U.S. attorneys, which is the politicization of the rule of law. In other words, decisions to prosecute or not to prosecute in this country are no longer made on the basis of whether you did something right or wrong, but on political expediency. Is this a person we want to prosecute? And even including creating cases against political enemies. And that's essentially what happened to me. I was viewed as a threat to a statewide, very lucrative contract steering and case manipulation scheme that is making a lot of people a lot of money and giving them a lot of power. And once I demonstrated on the website, along with some other people, the evidence that, you know, you can literally manipulate any case in this state if you are an insider and have access to the people who have the ability to appoint the judge to your case or the special prosecutor to your case, once that was out there, that made me a very dangerous person to the powers that be. And, but, I mean, what a sad comment that our judicial system in the state of Ohio has been so compromised that the very role of what it's supposed to do in society, it no longer is functioning in that way. It's completely been compromised. And that the checks and balances, you know, that we hear so much about just don't exist. You know, you always hear the judiciary, you know, very quickly saying how they have to be independent. Well, yes, they have to be free to make decisions, but there has to be that check by the people, and which is represented by the legislature, on lawyers and judges, that they are in fact going by the rule of law, because lawyers and the judges and prosecutors have absolute immunity in their roles in office, and so, you know, you have no civil recourse against them if they're violating your rights, if they're cheating in your cases. You're only recourse against them is impeachment or a criminal prosecution of them for when you catch them creating a fraud in a case, for example, which would be obstruction of justice. For some reason, the Justice Department and the legislature have allowed the judicial branch of government and the legal powers that be to operate to self-police themselves, so that we no longer have any check on lawyers and judges in this state, in this country, I believe. I mean, it's the amount of misconduct that occurred in my case. For example, my house was raided on a defective warrant, and they took all of my legal records dating back for 5 years. That's a horrific violation of attorney-client privilege. Now the state has come forward and admitted that they have lost my computer hard drive. So, in effect, the entire case against me, the evidence has disappeared. Now, the reason they've lost that computer hard drive is because I believe they fabricated evidence against me, or at least tampered with some evidence in the case. And they now don't want to have to produce that hard drive, because that would become evident that there was manipulation in the case, that there was tampering in the case, and that my entire conviction in Cuyahoga County would then have to be vacated. But just extraordinary, you know, the rights violations are extraordinary. You know, Fourth Amendment violations, Fifth Amendment, Sixth Amendment, and then the number one, the First Amendment. You know, where do you go? Where do you go to get redress when it's the actual court procedures that have been corrupted to such a point that they're being used to commit crimes on private citizens? I don't know. I'm dumbfounded at this point.
Yeah, and you're also quite courageous to go through this, because you have come up against and have shown people how deeply corrupted the system is. And, you know, simply put, You spoke up at a city council meeting. You sent a few emails to a judge, and you started a website to tell the truth about what you saw. And in turn, they've charged you with over 100 years in jail. I mean, that's, the charges go on and on and on.
Yes.
In county and in a couple different counties. And what I see they've done to you is, like you said, like the old Soviet Union. Whether you're, you know, you can prove probably, and I would say beyond a reasonable doubt, that you committed no crimes.
Right.
But they can keep you in this legal matrix, contempt of court. Go here because you're crazy and you need a psychiatric examination, and you spent months in jail waiting on a psychiatric examinations.
Yeah.
And this is exactly what they did in the Soviet Union. I mean,
right.
So
and they
Americans.
Just wear you down. They absolutely wear you down, and more importantly, the economic hit. You know, what they do to you to economically destroy you. The other thing that happened was, you know, they charged me with drug possession for having legally prescribed drugs in my home. But because they claim they weren't in prescription containers, although there's some evidence that they literally dumped them out of the prescription containers in my home, you know, they've dropped those counts against me, but now they're proceeding with them against my husband, even though we can demonstrate we had prescriptions for them or they were in prescription containers and you dumped them, not to mention the fact that some of the drugs that were taken from our home have disappeared, that they aren't showing up on the inventory at all. So, you know, it's just a constant barrage of frivolous criminal charges, the most outlandish one being, you know, a prosecution for stealing my own car, which the state just dropped 3 weeks ago when they admitted, oh, yes, she had authority to drive the vehicle. You know, why am I sitting here being prosecuted for almost 2 years on a Grand Theft Auto case when you knew from day one that I had an ownership interest in the vehicle?
Yeah, it's amazing to me. Let me get to a phone call here. Rita's been holding from Texas. Rita, you're on the Investigative Journal. Do you have a question for my guest?
Oh, I have a comment. I am absolutely delighted to hear what's happening to you, especially when you said you're a lawyer, because the reality is that something similar happened to me exactly. I'm not going to say exactly, but very similar. I was very active in politics in Texas and in the city council meetings, et cetera. And decided to help to assist some other citizens in asserting their rights, privileges, and immunities that are guaranteed to them under the United States Constitution, which is a protection. There was a Supreme Court case that stated that under freedom of association, an individual has a right to defend another, to assist another individual in asserting their rights, privileges, and immunities guaranteed to them under the United States Constitution. So I was fighting the State Bar of Texas at that time.
Okay.
And as a result of that, I learned real quick, you don't get a jury trial. As a matter of fact, I was summarily thrown into federal incarceration for 72 hours and 29 days in the state. So
what did they bring against you, man? I hate to interject, but did they bring an unauthorized practice of law charge against you?
Yes, they did, and they didn't even cite the law that made the actions that I was doing. I didn't even get the basic notice of what statute they were relying on.
Not only that, in all likelihood, if it's anything like Ohio, the State Bar Association had no jurisdiction over you in the first place to bring an unauthorized practice of law charge against you.
No kidding, but the State Bar
Association... The Bar Association only has authority over lawyers. Okay?
Well, the State Bar Act of the state of Texas provided that any person who can show evidence of a license issued by any authority recognized under the United States or the state of Texas are authorized to practice law. And what I was going to try and argue is that I had one of my fellow citizens' power of attorney under the power of contract to act on his behalf and represent him.
Right. I guess the other issue I want to point out, what you're running up against is, you know, the bars are very threatened. They do not want citizens in this country knowledgeable about their rights, and they do not want them representing themselves.
Well,
because, you know, I mean, litigation and keeping this a very litigious society is what, you know, and lobbying. They want to believe that law is all this all-encompassing, you know, any kind of advocacy, and that's just simply not true.
Well, I'm not a fool, and the reality is we do not have a constitutional republic. I'm thoroughly convinced that right after the Civil War, that what was established was a judicial tyranny.
Yes.
And
I'm certainly living it out, and you learned it. And the interesting thing in your case is, let me understand this, you were literally prosecuted then by the judicial branch. The executive branch never prosecuted you, yet you were incarcerated, correct?
Yes, but let me share with you, when they tried to come at me, you see, they were trying to argue that I didn't have enough knowledge of the law to be able to defend it. Well, when I went into court and said, well, if the state's going to argue that I don't have enough knowledge of the law to be able to defend it, then I obviously don't have enough sufficient knowledge of the law to be able to violate it.
Right.
You know,
exactly.
The idiots and imbeciles
and that's
are
the interesting thing. It's they'll interpret things to suit their purposes for whatever, you know, whatever means that they're after. And the main mean that they're after is the legal, you know, the legal powers that be in this country. They literally have set themselves up as an you know, the whole reason we established this country was to get away from King George and the bar, okay?
Right.
And away from seditious libel and the idea that you can criticize the government without fear of getting beheaded and practice your religion and have a right to a conscience. But the bar associations really want to establish an aristocracy in this country. They want to, you know, I'm sitting here. I was trained as a scientist first, so I became a lawyer as a second profession. And so, you know, I fall back on my scientific training, and the things that are happening just logically just don't follow. And essentially what you have is they want to have two classes of people in this country.
It's not a matter
who
that
are
they
free to be members of the executive branch, the legislative branch and the judicial branch, all at the same time while they're members of the bar and members of the judicial branch, which violates separation of powers.
Right.
And they don't want the rest of us, do not get involved in the legislative branches, do not get involved in the executive branch, don't expect the executive branch to protect you. In Ohio, and I don't know about Texas, but I'm sure it's the same way, in Ohio, every citizen has the right to march down to municipal court and press a criminal charge against somebody, but you know they're methodically moving away from that, saying, "Oh no, only a lawyer or a police officer can bring a criminal charge in this country, in this state." Well, you know, then that begs the question: How do you prosecute a corrupt police officer? How do you prosecute a corrupt judge?
And I have the solution. And I think it's going to repeat itself again with 1776. And that is, we have a Second Amendment. And I moved to Texas basically because I heard about the vigilantes. I'm still looking for them.
Yeah.
You know, and so I was talking to a chief of police, and I said, I'm looking for the daggum vigilantes out here. And he said, well, you're it.
Yeah.
Shoot, I didn't want to be, the first member of the Minute Maid, you know, brigade.
Yes.
But I think that your story is going to be a succession of stories that is being said that I personally, and I'm serious about this, I celebrate every time I hear a cop getting shot. I celebrate any time I hear a judge getting shot. I love to see them in their little fortresses because they are afraid of the American people. But you see, the reality is they got to go out shopping. They got to go outside. Do you see that fortress? But their comeuppance is going to come because you've had over 7.5 million people in our penitentiaries over this trumped up drug war that is going on. That is nothing but a moneymaker for these corrupt judges, these corrupt law enforcement, and the corrupt lawyers. So
meanwhile, the biggest drug abusers in our country, the heaviest drug abuse profession with the heaviest incidence of drug abuse, are lawyers and police officers. I'm a pharmacist as well as an attorney by training. And one of the things I early on was recommending was one, mandatory drug testing of all lawyers and judges in this state on demand by any litigant who appears before them. And two, the diversion that is occurring from evidence. Every medical professional is regulated and has to answer to, has to account for the drugs that come into their possession, except police officers. And the amount of diversion the stuff that is disappearing from evidence is just astonishing because there's no paper trail.
Well, madam, there aren't any free elections. The lawyers are in the legislatures. What you're proposing, as far as I'm concerned, in my instance, is falling on deaf ears, because common sense tells me you don't go to the devil for justice.
Well, yeah, I guess I still have to believe in the rule of law. I want to desperately believe in the rule of law, and I really believe our country is at a crossroads. And that the issue pending in Congress right now with the U.S. attorneys, I can't underscore how important that is. If we're at in a point in this country where you can have openly have politicized the Department of Justice, and I'm not surprised, because I know, the reality is I know that's what happened. But we as a people, and Congress has to start the impeachment proceeding. And we as a people have to start finding a way to start easily impeaching judicial and executive branch officers for misconduct in office. That's the only way, and reestablish some sort of accountability.
Elsa, I need to take a break. We'll be back. Rita, thanks for calling. We'll be back with Elsa Beth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, since healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans, they're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Wow, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 866-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there, or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free, 866-222-3017, or coffeeking.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help you regain your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has helped over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
Okay, we're back, and there is a short time left with Elsa Beth Baumgarten. We have one short 3 or 4 minute segment here, Elsa. Can you please just expound a little bit about this problem with the U.S. attorneys and how this relates to what's happened to you? Go ahead.
Certainly. Well, your readers, your listeners, I'm sure, are familiar with the scandal that's playing out, that the Bush White House has now been shown to have fired U.S. attorneys based on for political reasons, is what the argument goes, that they weren't being vigorous enough in their prosecution of certain people and at the same time going after friends of the administration. Now, the U.S. Attorney's Office is, of course, the lead federal prosecutor for a given district. And what I found back in 2001 is I found there was a concerted effort by the U.S. Attorney's Office in the Northern District of Ohio not to pursue public corruption investigations into high-ranking Republican office holders in the state of Ohio. I went to Washington, D.C. in June of 2001, got a meeting with investigators from the Inspector General's office, was promised a probe of Ohio. Washington told me, we understand, we know it's a very closed system there, that it's very hard to have public officials investigated. Lo and behold, I found, I have a paper trail that shows this. Senator George Voinovich learned of my efforts to have a probe of top Republican office holders in the state of Ohio, was able to successfully, I believe, block that investigation, left me hanging in the wind with these powerful people knowing that I went to Washington to complain about them, specifically our Chief Justice, our former Attorney General, and our former Auditor of State. And that's when the attacks on my license, my law license, and the various criminal cases started coming against me. When I went back to the U.S. Attorney's Office and the FBI looking for protection, saying, look, you know, I'm being retaliated against. Nobody in the federal offices would speak with me. And so I essentially did not receive equal protection. In the last year, Thomas Noe, a major fundraiser for President Bush, was convicted of election finance fraud. And that case, there are now letters on the Internet from Senator or from Representative Conyers back in 2005 petitioning our U.S. attorney in this state, Greg White, asking that a special prosecutor be brought in the Thomas Noe case because of the links to high-ranking Republican office holders that Greg White owed his political appointment to. There was never a – needless to say, that didn't happen. And the Thomas Noe case was confined to just Thomas Noe, and the obvious link to Governor Taft, to Senator George Voinovich, to former Auditor of State Betty Montgomery, and to former Attorney General in this state Jim Petro, and the massive pay-to-play corruption in the state of Ohio that funds elections, that allowed, I believe, the election in Ohio to be results in 2004 to be very suspect, went on without a hitch. Now, the people of Ohio pretty much cleaned house here in November, as happened nationally. But my very complaints, we now see my case is the flip side of what you're seeing. People who've been fired for not pursuing public corruption cases against political enemies or being too zealous in them. My case is a situation where a U.S. attorney has remained in power because he was complacent and didn't vigorously, I believe, pursue the obvious lead that we, the people in the state of Ohio, were entitled to have pursued. And as a result,
Elsa, I'm going to have to end it here. We're all out of time.
Okay.
But we're going to follow your story, and we're going to have you on again to update what's happening to you. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you so much, Greg.
Okay, Elsa Beth Baumgardner from Ohio. Let's follow her story. A sad story it is. A sad story about our system has broken down. The legal system. We'll be back right after this short message.